I farm so hard, the employees wanna find me. And then wanna hire me. What's 100K to a guy like me? Could you please remind me? Farm so hard, this ain't easy. Working late nights, you best believe me. My grades can only go ace. Never wanna see another B unless I'm Jay-Z. Farm so hard.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Farm So Hard Ambulatory Care Podcast. I'm so excited to be here and introduce my co-host and friend, Morgan Greer. And she is a clinical ambulatory care pharmacist at VCU Health in Richmond, Virginia. She completed her PGY1 residency at Baptist Health, Louisville, and her PGY2 residency in ambulatory care at the Medical University of South Carolina, or MUSC, and attained her PharmD from the University of South Carolina College of Pharmacy. So during today's episode, we will take a deeper dive into who Morgan is and get a better understanding of her journey in the field of ambulatory care and learn what drives her passion behind the Farm So Hard Ambulatory Care podcast. So welcome, Morgan.
Thank you.
Nice. Okay, so just to get us started, I'd like to learn a little bit about your personal background and journey through your educational path into pharmacy.
Yeah, so I actually have a pretty long career, I guess you could say, like through wanting to become a pharmacist. I actually decided to become a pharmacist when I was 14 years old, and it was very random. So I was always really into, as a kid, wanting to know like what I was going to do when I got older, what career I was going to have. And so I always took a bunch of these quizzes growing up about like careers or majors that would match with your interests. And I really liked math and science as a kid. And so one day it matched me with a pharmacist, and I was like, what do you mean? Like the person at a Walmart who gives you your prescription, like, I don't understand how that fits into me and like what I'm going to do. And so the more I looked into it, the more I learned about just the versatility of pharmacy, and that I could do pediatrics, oncology, I could work in the hospital, in the community setting, and that really my opportunities were endless in pharmacy. And so that really just drove me to want to become a pharmacist. So I made a big deal out of it that year at the Thanksgiving dinner table. And I declared that year when I was 14 that I was going to be a pharmacist. And so over the years, as I got closer to college, I definitely wanted to go to a place that offered like pre-pharmacy and all of that different stuff. And so for me, I did like different shadowing opportunities, and I even went to pharmacy boot camp when I was a senior in high school. And just the more I got exposed to it, I just never looked back. And so I remember very vividly getting accepted to pharmacy school, and then the rest was kind of history from there.
That's so awesome. That's kind of similar to my story. I knew at 12 that I wanted to be a pharmacist, but the way I got there was a little different. My sister was 9 years ahead of me, and she was a chemistry major, and she kind of routed me that way because I love math and science. But I think it goes in line with the pharmacist personality, where like we want to know the plan like as soon as possible and like map everything out, that type A personality. I don't know if you feel that way. Yeah.
No, we're all type A. So it's funny when you get into pharmacy school and there's 100 copies of you in the same room.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So now I want to dive into your professional experience and what brought you to your career as an ambulatory care pharmacist at VCU Health.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I was always set on residency, always knew I was like residency bound in pharmacy school, but I never knew exactly, you know, what area of pharmacy I was going to go into. And so for me, when I was looking into residency programs, I was interested, I believe when I first went into like my first year residency, infectious disease, emergency medicine, or ambulatory care, but I just wasn't quite ready to settle on ambulatory care, mostly because my perception of ambulatory care at the time was just primary care. That's all I knew of ambulatory care. So I wasn't quite ready to like pigeonhole myself in a way. And so I went into residency programs looking for programs that were going to offer me all of those different avenues for me to explore before I would have to early commit or maybe go to mid-year and do PPS or interview for places. And so my first rotation of PGY1 was infectious disease during the COVID pandemic. So you can imagine how that maybe swayed my opinion a little bit. But then I remember my third rotation was back in the ambulatory care setting, and more in specifically a heart failure clinic. And for me, that just changed everything because I was so much happier. I loved being back with patients all day, every day, being able to actually engage with them, because the thing that I missed on the inpatient side was that you kind of see them for however long they're there in the hospital, but then they just kind of leave and you never know what actually happens to them. And so for me, getting to know the patient themselves, maybe their family members, their grandkids, you know, having that intimate relationship with them and being such an integral part of their care was just so different than everything else I had done in residency or other rotations throughout school. And so I had a really great mentor at the time too, who really gave me the perception of AmCare not just being primary care. She trained at an institution for her PGY2 in ambulatory care, where she had experiences in oncology and in transplant and in all these different HIV clinics and things of that nature that were well beyond primary care. And so I think my hesitation for committing to ambulatory care at first was that I was going to lose all of those things, that I would forever just be in diabetes, hypertension land. But she really gave me the perspective and the mentorship to let me know, hey, that's not necessarily the case. There are so many things you can do. And the opportunities, again, the same reasons you chose pharmacy in the first place, the opportunities are endless. You can do anything and everything that you want to do in ambulatory care. You can go into heart failure for 5 years. And if you decide you need a change of pace, you could go into HIV or you can go into transplant. There's really nothing that's going to like necessarily keep you in one particular area if you want to move around and have that versatility. And so I really was like, okay, absolutely. All of those things kind of said and put into place. I was like, yep, this is absolutely for me.
That's awesome. Yeah. I fell in love with ambulatory care just like you, that one-on-one being an integral part of the patient's care and really getting to see the continuity with the patient rather than them just being admitted and then losing them forever, or being like trapped in the basement on a computer and not really seeing anybody or the patients. That really scared me because I'm so gregarious and I feel that from you as well. Yeah. And then being stuck in like diabetes and hypertension land, I definitely worried about that, like the mundane process of just like being stuck in primary care. But then when we got into our PGY2s, like we talked about before, it really opened up to a world way beyond primary care, like you said, transplant and advanced heart failure and all kinds of things. So that's really cool.
I think for me too, you know, looking at my job now at VCU, I think that all kind of came to fruition. Kind of my whole journey throughout pharmacy and pharmacy school was my job now is in a complex care clinic, which serves patients that it's as a primary care clinic, but a lot of them have like a social barrier, whether that be like homelessness, financial insecurities or barriers to their care. But a lot of times our patients, yeah, they have diabetes or hypertension, but they're also probably post-transplant. We have patients who have like PANDAs, or we have antiphospholipid syndrome. Like there is never just a clear cut, you know, primary care patient. So every single day I'm going to see something new. And I think it also really spoke to my love and passion throughout pharmacy school, especially of serving the underserved and being involved in organizations like SNAPA. I was actually the president of that organization during pharmacy school that was really focused on serving the underserved and minority communities. And so to be able to find a position post-residency that really fulfilled all of those things for me was really cool.
That is so awesome. I love hearing your experience with that. Okay, now I want to change our focus into the vision for this podcast. So what do you think really ignited your passion for ambulatory care? And then what are your goals that you're looking to achieve through the Farm So Hard Ambulatory Care podcast?
Yeah, I think for me, I really developed a passion for ambulatory care in my PGY2 year of residency. And that really came from learning more about the advocacy part of ambulatory care, which isn't as common in maybe some other areas of pharmacy. So ambulatory care, we kind of discussed in our introduction of the podcast how sometimes you have to really fight and advocate for your position and almost in a sense kind of prove your worth. And a lot of that comes from maybe return on investment, billing, revenue, all of those different things. And so again, I always throughout pharmacy school and through my training had a big part of me that was passionate about advocacy for the profession and always wanting to make sure pharmacists were respected and held to, you know, the same level as other providers and clinicians in the healthcare system. And so for me, that just, again, went hand in hand with everything that I wanted out of my career. And so My passion for that really came through in PGY2, because part of PGY2 is developing a new service and then advocating for that new service. And so I think that really came out during PGY2 and going through that process.
That's so cool. I know our learners would love to hear maybe about what service you implemented during your PGY2, if you want to go into that.
Yeah. So for me, it was actually a really cool and somewhat unique experience. So I started a pharmacist-driven service for OBGYN and women's health. And that was really led mostly in legislation that was recently passed in South Carolina right before I started my residency, which gave pharmacists the ability to prescribe contraception on their own independently. And there weren't a lot of restrictions around that legislation either. So really the only things that were off limits were the implant and then the IUD, just because of those are more invasive medical procedures. But as far as the patch, the depot shot, oral, any of that, that was fair game for pharmacists to be able to prescribe. And then it really came to me after that legislation about like why pharmacists aren't in this area. How many questions do we get about what people can or cannot take during pregnancy? How many questions do we get about, you know, how drug levels may differ in pregnancy, gestational diabetes, anticoagulation in pregnancy? There were so many opportunities for a pharmacist to be very deeply involved in those people's care. So I definitely wanted to kind of take that a step further. And so throughout the year, we developed a service, developed a potential collaborative practice agreement. And then by the end of my residency year, I was physically in the OBGYN clinic helping see patients with both midwives, residents, physician attendings, all of those different people as part of the healthcare team, and really being the medication expert in those different areas, about even things from like the common cold about what somebody could take in pregnancy, all the way to making insulin adjustments for somebody who has gestational diabetes or even type 1 that got pregnant and has type 1 pre-existing their pregnancy. And so that was a really cool experience that pharmacists aren't really deeply involved in yet. There's a couple of places around the country where they do have positions like that, but I personally would love to see that kind of area of pharmacy grow for pharmacists in the future.
Yeah, that's so relevant right now, because as of like very early in 2024, NC Medicaid opened up to recognize pharmacists as providers who are immunizing pharmacists and prescribing contraception as part of that like provider status that we were acknowledged for. So that's so relevant and exciting to see how you capitalized on that. And I'm excited to see what the future holds for the area of pharmacists, you know, not only in ambulatory care, but outside in the community pharmacy space that can run with that, you know, change in legislation.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So sorry to cut you off, but moving on to what future topics do you plan to discuss and dive into with this podcast?
Yeah, I think for me, it's all about probably the billing and reimbursement side of ambulatory care pharmacy, because there's not a lot of information out there. And I think myself as a clinician, I'm still learning and researching. And I know there's a lot of my colleagues here in Virginia that we're always trying to get together, whether it's on like a state association level or just through colleagues that we know in the community, trying to figure out more about how can we bill? What are the steps to bill? So here in Virginia, they just passed legislation to require Medicaid to fully reimburse any pharmacist provided service. And so a lot of my colleagues and I got on the same webinar offered by Virginia Medicaid, trying to figure out what are the ins and outs in this. And it's a lot more complicated than you think about having to register yourself with Virginia Medicaid with all the different separate plans. And there's about maybe 7 or 8 different plans of Medicaid within the state of Virginia and having to go through all those steps. And so I think maybe creating a space where those things can be discussed. But I think the other part of topics that I would like to see come from this in the future is on the clinical side, really looking into those areas that you never thought an ambulatory care pharmacist could be a part of before, mostly like women's health or transplant, HIV. You know, the first time I ever heard that you couldn't get a transplant without a pharmacist approval, I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And to, you know, practice in those clinics and know people who practice in those clinics as well. It's a really cool and unique experience and practice to be a part of. And so bringing that to maybe residents or students, learners all across the country who maybe would be interested in something like that. They just don't know that it's out there. Maybe their particular school or institution just doesn't offer it, but to kind of bring awareness that there are other kind of practice settings out there.
That's so awesome and needed. Yeah. That is just something that I love learning about, like, one, business billing and reimbursement, and like creating your salary. Like, how can you really advocate and know about how to be financially viable with an institution or privately or with private clinics? That's just an area that we definitely need to talk more about as pharmacists, so that we can show our value and then prove our value through the reimbursement. And then move in steps to getting that provider status, like we are inching our way to, hopefully, very soon. Okay, so now, in what ways can we engage with our audience with you specifically? So how do we need to send our audience to engage with you?
Yeah, so obviously through the podcast, just always feel free to send questions, or if you have questions about my journey to being an ambulatory care pharmacist, anything you would like me to speak on based on my prior experiences. Social media is coming to be active on social media through like Instagram, and then of course through all the Farm So Hard platforms as well.
Perfect. I love it. I love it. Okay. Now we're going to kind of transition into your personal insight on some different things. So the first question I have for this is really thinking about, like, looking back on your journey within pharmacy, within ambulatory care, what are some major challenges and successes that come to your mind or stand out for you in these spaces?
Yeah, for me, you know, thinking about this question, it really goes back to the Women's Health Project during my residency year. That was kind of the double-edged sword for me in my journey. I think it was an incredible accomplishment and a real amazing experience for me to have this vision just simply based off of legislation that happened to be passed 2 months before I started my residency program, and then to bring it up as an idea to my residency director, and then to see it grow all the way to me physically being in clinic with these providers and answering questions and making adjustments and seeing it through all the way and really seeing it come to life. I think it's a real accomplishing moment, especially as a resident, to see this just a simple vision you had really come to life. And for me, that also opened opportunities for me. I was able to go and speak to the medical residents, specifically the OBGYN residents at their grand rounds, about what pharmacists do that are not necessarily in the community setting, what the legislation was about, where I see pharmacy going in the future, especially within the OBGYN space. And so again, putting pharmacy's kind of platform out there, because like I said, not a lot of pharmacists are in that space around the country. And so most OBGYN residents have never dealt with a pharmacist before. They've never interacted with someone, as compared to maybe an internal medicine resident or a critical care resident. Like, maybe they've had more interactions with the pharmacist, but for these residents, it was all brand new. But I think that process was also challenging, because the vision for the project was hopefully to submit this for a full-time position to be approved, that someone, whether it be myself or somebody in the future, would hold. And so with that came a lot of business planning, a lot of looking at pharmacist billing, what we could bill for, what the actual reimbursement was going to be for those, really learning that even if pharmacists were to get reimbursed for their services, a lot of times it's not 100%, and a lot of times it's not even 50%. And so really trying to show, you know, if it was their requirement for a position to be approved, that it was a 3-to-1 return on investment, that became actually pretty difficult to prove, considering kind of all the limitations we have as pharmacists to be able to actually be reimbursed for the things that we're doing all the time. And so for me, I found that very challenging, very difficult as a process in creating that business plan and actually proposing it to these very high up people within an institution to get that approved. And so it definitely was a great learning experience, and things that I had never even thought of course, because they don't teach you those things in pharmacy school. But really taking on the outside, the time outside of being a clinician, outside of, you know, learning the clinical stuff, that was a lot of like business lingo that I had to kind of learn on the fly.
Yeah, that's awesome insight. I absolutely love that. There's like several things that I want to dive deep into that you focused on. The first thing is like going into or looking at PGY2s. When I was on the fence, when I did a PGY1 in ambulatory care, I was like, do I really need to do a PGY2? I knew I wanted to do ambulatory care, but I was like, is this something that is the right next step for me? And I wasn't really sure until I really got into my PGY1 and really took a look at the PGY2 opportunities. And when I looked into it, I saw, number one, my PGY1 in AM care was focusing mainly primary care. And then when I started looking at PGY2s, they were like going way beyond primary care. And then they were offering opportunities just like you went into with creating a service. In North Carolina, we have the designation. It's like credentialing that you can get. It's called a CPP or clinical pharmacist practitioner. It's very similar to a collaborative practice agreement, which you might be like very familiar with because you spoke on it and created one. But it's like where you can prescribe and order labs under an agreement with physicians. And, you know, titrate and see patients independently and manage them on your own schedule. So I saw that PGY2s offered the opportunity to start new clinical services, get your CPP in practice just like you did. And I thought that was just something that, you know, wasn't really apparent to me that was available as a student, especially, and even as a PGY1 resident until I really looked into those opportunities. So I'm excited that we're talking about it now to like disseminate the information to pharmacy learners and other people in healthcare so that they know, you know, what pharmacists are able to do and what they can potentially go into for their future career for pharmacy learners specifically. And then like starting clinical services, learning how to, what the billing process looks like. And like you said, the business plan things, I ended up starting a business out of pharmacy residency, and I had to really look into all these different things. And I cracked open my books from a pharmacy management course from pharmacy school. But like you said, this is something that I think can be further expanded upon in pharmacy school and just making that more aware and maybe going back and talking about it more in pharmacy school or different areas that we can advocate to help our future pharmacy profession. Just talking about it will advocate for that, right, for the future. That's so awesome, Morgan. I love that.
I think you had a good point about kind of your why of doing PGY2, because I discovered my why as I was kind of going through the interview process. But as I am now this year on the other end of interviewing people for PGY2, which is such a weird place to be in now, I try to see that for the candidates. Like, what is your why? You know, because sometimes I feel like, especially in professional training, like pharmacy, we kind of find this rhythm of like, oh, I need to do PGY1 or I need to do PGY2 because it's the logical next step. But like, what is your why? Why do you want to do it? And so for me, that why was, I want to learn more about billing. I want to learn more about advocacy. I want to learn more about the ins and outs of developing a clinical service, what that takes, what really are the things that I need to know about that, that I don't know at the end of a PGY1 that I think I would personally need to be successful as an ambulatory care clinical pharmacist. And so for me, that was my why. And so I encourage anybody who's going into a PGY1 or a PGY2, even more specifically, just to have your why. Don't let it just be kind of, maybe you feel like your pharmacy school is kind of pushing residency on you, or your friends are all doing residency or doing PGY2s. Really have your why of why you want to do it that makes you feel like you're going to be fulfilled in the rest of your career.
Yeah, that's inspirational advice for a pharmacy learner. And they don't get insight for residency or speaking directly to previous residents. And we're so close to being in that resident space and being in the space that they were in as new practitioners. That's, I think, something that I really craved and wanted as a pharmacy student, was to just learn more about residency from residents, right? So it's just nice to hear your perspective on it too. Okay. Speaking of pharmacy students and aspiring pharmacists, what advice can you offer aspiring pharmacists?
I think just doing some of the work outside of just being a clinician. Because obviously in pharmacy school and residency, it's very focused on learning the clinical information, learning how to provide the best care possible to our patients, because that absolutely 100% comes first. But I think, you know, as you move away from residency, you also start to learn about maybe your involvement in pharmacy organizations, or specifically to AmCare, learning about developing a clinical service, even if that's not like a brand new service from the ground up. But like for me, coming out of residency training and being the sole person in my position, you know, I'm the only pharmacist in my clinic, of course. And it was a weird transition trying to figure out, okay, this is my clinical practice and I serve a couple of clinics on the particular floor that I'm in. So how do I want to manage my time? Do I want to do just straight independent practice under a collaborative practice agreement? Do I want to separate my time, you know, some days between the collaborative practice where I see patients independently, but then some other days I want to be more consultative and be available for any, you know, provider questions that I might get on various things and be pulled into those. And so trying to figure out for me, what does that look like? And I think that's the fun of ambulatory care as well, is you really get to design and be creative with it. But I think that all takes place sometimes outside of just the clinical learning. And so for learners, whether they're going into inpatient, ambulatory care, any of that, I think it's really looking yourself at pharmacy, you know, outside of just your institution, outside of what you're just seeing at the current moment, and learning more and always trying to become more when it comes to pharmacy. And definitely when it comes to advocating for us to have provider status at the federal level, because that's only just going to push the profession even more forward.
That's great advice. I love it. Okay, last question, just to get to know Morgan a little bit better. I want to know, what do you like to do outside of work? What are your hobbies? What are your interests? Tell me more about you.
So I love this question. It's just because, again, coming out of residency, it's been an interesting journey to try to figure out who am I outside of residency? Because I think we all going through residency have this long period of kind of pharmacy being our world. During pharmacy school, you know, you're really focused on school. And then during residency, of course, you go to clinic or you go to the hospital for X amount of hours. But then likely when you're coming home, you still have projects, you still have research, patients to work up for the next day. And so it never really ends. And then once you're out of residency, that's not necessarily the case anymore. And so you have all this free time potentially to do all the things that you maybe weren't able to do for the last X amount of years. And so for me in particular, I've actually started doing Pilates here. There's a great Pilates studio here in Virginia that I've gotten really into. I've never done it before, but I'm trying to find like new things I'm interested in. I took a pickleball boot camp a couple months ago because everybody talks about pickleball. And I'm like, I need to see what this is. Most confusing game ever, by the way. It makes absolutely no sense. So I will not be continuing the pickleball, but it was a good fun thing to try. But outside of that, I've always been really interested in music throughout my life. And so my fun fact is I was actually part of the South Carolina marching band when I was in college for 4 years. I played saxophone, because I know that's going to be the next question, is what did I play? So I played saxophone. I did it through middle and high school. And then they offered me a scholarship during my undergraduate degree to do it in college. So I decided to march in college, and it was a great experience. You know, at first I was like, I don't want to do band in college, but then of course, you know, when they give you money, you're kind of like, okay, I have to. But for me, I made some of the best friends through that experience. We got to go to all the football games, bowl games, where we went to Alabama or Tampa, Florida. You know, we got to travel with the team, any away games, you know, those were on lottery, but I went to Vanderbilt. I think I went to Ole Miss at one point. So I think that was just a really cool experience to do. But more recently, I was told I had to say this on the podcast. I got a new car. So I got a custom ordered Bronco, and the Broncos made a comeback in 2021. So they've been all the rave. And I've always wanted one ever since they came out. And so I was able to actually order one, because everybody wanted one. So the only way to really get one and it be what you wanted was to order one. And so she finally came in. And so her name is Betty the Bronco. I love her. She's probably about 80% of my personality at this point. But yeah, so long drives with Betty, I guess, are my hobby as of right now.
I love that. Long drives with Betty. I get to see her personally on Instagram. That's so fun.
Yes.
But that is so cool about the music part. I had no idea. So that was in your undergrad that you did that, not during pharmacy school, or was it both?
It was both, actually. So I did the, let me tell you, it was difficult at times. So I did 2 years of undergrad and then obviously went to the 4 years of pharmacy school. And so for the first 2 years of pharmacy school, I also did band during those first 2 years. So it got very difficult there at the end, especially when you get into your second year of pharmacy school, you get more into like the clinical stuff. So I remember the very first day of school I went, I had like pharmacotherapy, then I had a pediatrics elective, I had lab, and then I had to go to band practice after that for 2 hours. And I just wanted to cry the whole time because I was just so exhausted. But it was worth it for the time that I had. But now, obviously, I don't play saxophone anymore, but I do have piano and guitar here at my house. And so I still dabble in those every so often. So I still like to keep the music alive in my life in some way.
I love that. So yeah, the first 2 years of pharmacy school were definitely the hardest for me. So I could not imagine trying to do the band stuff on top of that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like by the third year, I felt like it was easier, but really I think you just like figure it out better and you're just, I don't know, it's easier because you've adapted to the hardness of pharmacy school. But I share your love for music. I play the guitar, but I'm more of like a campfire player, so I can play like a lot of chords. And then I look at my favorite songs and we'll just like play with friends and family, and it's a lot of fun. I actually play the banjo too, but I don't like...
Not the banjo. Yeah,
very little. And I started in church when I was very little, and it was a Baptist church, so it was very country, very, like, that's how the banjo came in. I dabbled in the fiddle, but guitar is my strong suit. And I like to sing, so it's fun to, like, I don't know, whenever I get stressed or want to, like, get out of pharmacy or get out of my brain, I kind of go to music, and that, like, is an outlet. So hopefully that is yours as well.
So we're the same person, essentially.
Yes. Morgan and Michaela. We in AmCare, we got this.
LOL, I'll have to send a picture and we'll have to like insert a picture of me like in my band uniform from like 5 years ago. That'll be fun.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, pickleball. That's such a thing now. And I've never seen it played. I don't know anything about it, but like I see it on TikTok all the time. I'm like, what is pickleball?
It's very confusing. There are rules, but the rules don't make sense. And so you almost, like, being type A people as we are, you almost have to like let go of that because you're like, it doesn't make sense. But yeah, I don't know who created it, but it's interesting. We'll give it that.
We went to a brewery and they had a pickleball court out there, like near the brewery that people were playing. And I was like, what? Like pickleball is taking over the world. I don't understand.
It is. This was like an indoor place too. And a lot of the places are like outdoor. So this was interesting. I feel like I did this in December, I want to say. But yeah, there was a whole class and there are all these different techniques. And so it's supposed to be like a mix between ping pong and tennis. Yeah, not my vibe, but it was fun to try. I tried something new.
Yeah, good. I like it. We'll leave pickleball where it is. We do not have to play it. Yeah, they can have their pickleball and we will do other things like Pilates and music and Betty Bronco rides.
Yes. You'll have to come down to Charlotte.
Yes, for sure. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Jimmy will get him in and we'll all hang out. It'll be a fun party. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Morgan, for giving us more insight into your journey through pharmacy and as an ambulatory care pharmacist, your vision for the podcast, and sharing your personal insights into our profession. I look forward to our next episode where we're going to swap roles and you're going to interview me on my journey and ambulatory care, my vision for the podcast, all the things. So if you enjoyed this episode, please like, comment, share, and send to your ambulatory care friends and students within the ambulatory care space to just get the word out there. And until next time, don't forget to farm so hard in ambulatory care. Thanks, guys.